Well, good evening and welcome to a very flat Forever Bristol City podcast, because the final score in this afternoon's seven-side derby at Ashton Gate, it finished Bristol City 0, Cardiff City 2, and once again, we're talking about a poor performance, poor goals conceded, and we went into this game full of hope when we saw that in the starting lineup were Henri Lansbury and Joe Williams. 2-0, the final score to the men from over the water, including Agent Flint. He didn't do us any favours today. I'll come to you first, Ian. What did you think when you saw that starting lineup? I put on Twitter, other than Mariappa, totally out of position, it looked pretty sound, didn't it? Yeah?
No, I don't like us when we play a 4-3-3. And having two debutants and two guys who've hardly played any football this year, both in the side at the same time, I didn't think was a great idea. And I thought the shape was poor against Cardiff. We should have matched up. We knew they were going to play 3-5-2. We know Sheffield United will play 3-5-2. We should have matched up and gone with them. I'd have put Viner in at the back, and tried to match up with them so we could deal with the physical threat, because we knew how they were going to play. The only trouble is we tried to play the same as them. And the 4-3-3 with Wells playing one side and Semenyo the other doesn't work, never has and won't, and he keeps doing it. Yeah. So that's what I thought when I saw the side.
Not great. I mean, Ian, what did you think? I mean, the view is that if you've got two players like Lansbury and Williams, you play them. You don't bring them on because you could be bringing them on chasing the game. Again, I put on Twitter, you know, give them an hour and then take them off and hopefully you've got yourself into a winning position. So was that folly by Holden to start both of them?
Do you mean me? Mark?
Yeah. Mark.
Yeah, sorry, you said Ian.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you think Joe Williams has only played two halves of football for the under-23s, which is hardly, you know, I'd say competitive and full-blooded, it was just probably the bravest decision that he's made this season in picking a midfield three is lightweight as that, because Williams just looked like a player that had been out for 6 months. He was rusty, you know. That's what he was like. And Lansbury tried to make some passes, but they just breezed through us in the first half. Cardiff, it was just too easy for them. Pinned us down with their press, got the ball wide to the wing backs, and it was just. But the defending from the free kicks and the corners
we'll go through the goals
in a minute. But it was just a powder puff performance. I mean, we said it at half time and said to you, you know, the ultimate insult is empty shirts. Physically, City just weren't there today. And that's the most disappointing thing. But it wasn't helped by the clueless formation, and you know, the leadership's not there, both on the coaching side and on the recruitment side at the moment. It looks like a club going nowhere. The season's over for us, I think.
I think so. I mean, Ian and I would come on to that. We think the season's over, because before the game today, Ian said we need to win 11 of the last 19 games to get up towards 76 points. Maybe 76 would be enough. Maybe it wouldn't. Liam, I mean, were you surprised to see both the new signings, one recent? I mean, we were told that Lansbury wasn't going to be available for 3 weeks, and he comes straight into the team. And then Joe Williams, were you surprised that they both started?
Yeah. I was surprised that Joe Williams was starting, because Dean said that he might be on the bench. So I was surprised that he started both.
Yeah, and would you have played three at the back, and maybe having rather than playing Mariappa, who's totally right-footed and loft all over the place he was really, but would you have maybe tried to say to Semenya, look, fill in that wing-back role, and at least the central three can hold the defence up? Or do you think that would have been a big ask for Antoine to do that type of role?
No, I think what I would have done was I would have gone three, two, and just told Anton Semenyo just to kind of go up and down.
Yeah, Well, he didn't. He didn't have one of his. He didn't have one of his best games. I mean, Ian, let's dive into the action. I mean, very strange start to the game. I mean, it was only about 7 minutes old, and then their goalkeeper just seemed to collapse. What did you see in that? You know, almost as if they put the oximeter on him as well, didn't they? At one stage, what did you think about that?
Perhaps he was carrying an infection of some kind or a bit of a virus, and he just came over. As my auntie used to say, he came over a bit funny. Come
a bit
over
queer.
A bit queer.
He could have had COVID.
Well, he could have had a brain tumor. I don't know what he had, but you know, the kid didn't look very well. He fell over, and they took him off. And whether 8 minutes was the right amount of time, it seemed a lot longer than that to me. But yeah. I was just glad that we were a bit closer to getting the game over, to be honest, because. As soon as they went 2-0 up, it was all I could do to sit in the chair and watch it because I knew exactly what was going to happen.
I know.
Sorry,
it was
all that.
No, but I mean, I think you're absolutely right. You know, this was like Rotherham away, Millwall at home, Birmingham, most of the game against Huddersfield, even though we won that. You know, it just, you know, it's dire.
Derby away.
I mean, I wrote hard. Derby away. As recently as last week, second half against Brentford, if you want to be really picky. But I mean, Mark, we did have was it our only shot on goal when Lansbury put that free kick? That was good effort, wasn't it? Testing the keeper early on.
I think it was. I mean, it was a long way out. I mean, he actually put his arms up and it hit him in the breadbasket and bounced out. And we tried to do something, but it was cleared. And that I think that was our only shot on target the whole game. There was a header from Wells from across right at the end that was probably going wide that Smithies gathered. But you thought that gave us a chance. We get some momentum after the long break. Really, it didn't do anything. All Cardiff did was just the fullbacks were out of position, and they were on top of Callas and Mawson for the entire game.
Callas and Mawson were particularly poor. I mean, Liam, the first goal, that was a wicked free kick slung in by Harry Wilson, their lone player. But Curtis Nelson, he sort of just muscled his way in and pushed our central defenders out of the way, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't really have to jump.
No, he didn't. He didn't go
up high. It's just defending is just awful at the minute. Awful.
And you'd expect more with two players at cost, based on last transfer values, 30 quid between them. Ian, I mean, the second goal, that was another sloppy affair, wasn't it? I mean, Ojo got the... Well, Mariappa was stood 2 yards away from him, just in from the touchline. It's a crappy goal to concede, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's what we do. As I made the point the other night, we don't close down. We stand off and we say, go ahead, cross it. And he did. And I don't know what Callas was doing at the far post, but he certainly weren't marking more. And I think, you know, the words I wrote down watching the first half, well, the whole game really, were brainless. We didn't have a game plan. If we had a game plan, we didn't execute it. They executed theirs perfectly. We knew exactly what they were going to do, and we tried to do the same. Yeah. If you want to see how a target man plays, look at Kiefer Moore today. I had City fans going nuts with me when I said we should have signed him in the summer.
Yeah, but I mean, Ian, I think the way we play and the way we're coaching, anybody we sign is going to struggle because we probably play Kiefer Moore out on the wing, just like we're doing with Naki Wells. And do you really think that Ivan Toney, if we'd have signed him in the summer and let Pham go back then, if we had an offer, would he have scored? He got another two today, making it 21. You know, it's down to the coaching, and this is a continuum of the bloke who was there for the four preceding years. And you'd have expected with Downing and Simpson coming in for it to be a bit different, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Well, I don't think listening to what Dean Holden says, I don't think they actually do that much coaching because they can't get all the players out on the grass properly. I don't know whether they show them videos or whether they sit them down or they do small-sided games or whatever, but there was a complaint that they can't actually do that much coaching, but it doesn't seem to be affecting Brentford.
I think that's an excuse. Doesn't affect Cardiff either, does it? Because, they played to a method. They know what they're doing. They did a job on us.
Yeah, but before today, Cardiff hadn't won in 8 games. So they're not a great team, But they had a plan. They knew how to play, and basically decided to come over to Bristol City, and they say, right, get stuck into them. They're a bit soft. They don't want to know it when push comes to shove. If it comes to a scrap, they'll back off. So just do that. Get stuck into them. Don't stand off them. Don't let them play the ball. Press them. Their pressing game was far better than ours.
Yeah.
Because they've got a bunch of defenders that can't really pass the ball.
Yeah.
So that is what we've got. And if we don't wake up, I mean, my own view is that, as I said the other night, Oldham should have never got the job. And I think it'd be a good idea to move him on now.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
Not wait to the end.
Well, we'll see. See what happens in the next. Yeah, I agree with you, Ian. But you know, that's not going to happen. Again, I put on OTIB. You know, it doesn't matter what we think. We can moan here until the cows come home, right? This is Steve Lansdowne's club, right? And you know, he will run it the way he wants to, and his pride, arrogance, call it what you will, he's not going to pander, not to the minority of fans now. I think it's a majority who've been sold this, we're aiming for the top, for far too long without getting anywhere. I got to pick up on a point that Eb Mulcahy has put here. That Wilson was an annoying little rat. I mean, Mark, there was one situation where he went down holding his face. What a cheap, nasty little piece of work he was, but a good player.
Well, it's just, I mean, just blatant gamesmanship. I mean, they didn't need to do it because they were, they were 2-0 up and they were well on top. I mean, I don't know what happened to him. I mean, Volks went down after the ball hit him, and they get up smiling and start running around. I mean, Kiefer Moore late in the game went over the top, I think, of Callas and went down. The referee, as soon as they put their hands to their head, the referee. He looked like a scared little rabbit, that referee, and he blew his whistle because he was worried. He didn't have any control of the game.
Do you know what? You're absolutely right there, Mark. There was a couple of situations, where he almost seemed to be preempting a game-stopping head injury type of thing, wasn't it? Yeah? I mean, no, he was poor. And by and large this season, we've said the referees haven't been too bad. Yeah, even our friend, I can't think of his name now. And getting back to Ian's comment a minute ago, who's the Millwall manager? Because he pretty much set the pattern and said exactly what
Gary Rowett.
Gary Rowett, you know how to play against Bristol City.
Going back to one thing you said.
Yeah, go on.
The reason that Ivan Toney would never join Bristol City, and the same reason that Ollie Watkins didn't join Bristol City, was because they were sold the Brentford model and the way that they play. They play to a system and they buy players for that. That's why they joined them. Because you know, they believe in whatever project they got, and Matthew Benham's got is far better than ours.
Weren't we told though that when this appointment was made that this was going to take us to the next level and it was going to be front foot football, my ass. That's all I've got to say to that. Let me give Liam a shout. Liam, our saviour in so many games this season has been Dan Bentley, and he was at it again, wasn't he? On about 5 minutes before the break, where another right wing cross, what a surprise. And there was Ojo, not the tallest player on the field by any means, but another great save by Dan Bentley, tipping the ball over the top, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a decent save. And
he didn't have a lot to do, Dan Bentley, today, did he?
No, and if Dan Bentley gets injured, we're screwed. Then we are screwed.
Well, I disagree there. I think Max O'Leary is a good second-string keeper, to be fair. But let's move on. Second half, I mean, Rennie Gilmartin, it is like, the more I listen to him, it's the more like listening to Comic Al-Ali when the bloody tanks are rolling in behind, you know, and his final turn of the field. I don't think City ever get in the final turn of the field in a meaningful way. But that's my little rant over from Rennie. Lovely guy, though he is. Even he was starting to lose it a bit with the referee. And again, as Ian said on more than one occasion, you know, it's Pravda. You can't bite the hand that feeds you by criticising them. But Ian, right at the start of the second half, we did have a chance. I think, was it 4-on-1, breakaway? How did you see that? Was it Semenyo falling over? Did he get his ball tangled under his
Savage? Basically, no, Wells should have crossed the ball earlier. The ball was being pulled back from Masengo, and Wells kicked it straight at the back of Semenyo's leg. So Semenyo should have got out the way.
Yeah.
And let Masengo have it. But but it just absolutely summed up the way that we played. I mean, things like throwing or kicking the ball directly out of play.
The
truth is, I think Cardiff played pretty well today, but they didn't need to play very well to beat us.
Yeah. I think the thing with Cardiff, didn't you say earlier, Ian, that Cardiff hadn't won for 7 games or maybe eight. But is Mick McCarthy not undefeated in 4 now? Is it 3 draws and this win? So you'd say that was a solid start, wouldn't you? Or am I wrong making that statement?
No, I think, well, it depends where you are. I mean, they were losing games hand over fist before he went in. So, you know, when you start turning the ship around, it takes a while to get the thing turned around. And it wasn't going well, so the Cardiff board acted. As we know, ours won't. But I don't know, perhaps not having any season ticket sales would prompt some action.
Well, it might. I mean, it is. I mean, a couple of people put on here, PBG866, he said, get hold of Eddie Howe now. Deo4, Deo Z come back and said, Eddie Howe will not come here. We'll talk about the future later on. I mean, Mark, they almost wrapped it up, about 54 minutes I've got here, when Moore, his pass was just too hard in front of Ojo, and he got down our right-hand side then, hadn't he? And in acres of space after a miss by Hunt.
Yeah, it was either Hunt or Mawson, and he totally lost him. And he was through with just a defender between him and the goal. And all he had to do was play a soft side pass to Ojo, and he overhit it, and it ran wide. But they were just winning the ball back too easily. Even at the end, when we were chasing the game, they just kept winning the ball back, and Ojo and Moore would walk away with the ball, already challenged. You know, they bullied us throughout the game, and it was just too easy. It was Mill all over again. Mill hadn't won in 10 games when they beat us.
Yeah.
Cardiff, 8 games. It's just too easy for physically strong teams to beat Bristol City. We're a soft touch all around the club. And it's awful to think about it.
It's comfort. And I mean, the substitutions, Liam, they came on the hour about 10 minutes, 5 minutes earlier than normal. Liam, Williams, Masengo and Mariappa going off, Palmer, Pato and Taylor Moore coming on. Did you agree with those substitutions? Would you have done anything different at that stage in terms of subs?
Well, I would have done it at halftime.
Yeah.
I would have done it at halftime. And I don't get why Taylor Moore comes on and he plays him left of the three. I don't get that.
No, left of a three with Mawson on there. You're absolutely right. Yeah, because that.
Yeah, I don't.
Because you could have put. Mawson could have played left of a three. You're 100% right there, Ian. What did you think of the substitutes, the timing, and where and who?
Far too late. Should have happened at halftime. I made the point on Radio Bristol that Mawson is, of the players that we have, is the best on the left hand side of a three.
Yeah.
So play him on the left-hand side, and you can play Callis in the middle, and you can either play Taylor Moore or Viner as the third right-sided centre-back. So I'm looking at I just don't think that's one thing is playing Moore there. He's continued playing Mariap at left back because he's a good lad and he's experienced and he's doing his best. Well, yeah, that's fine, but you could pick the same argument for playing him up front.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's not playing well. It can't be doing his confidence any good. No. And he's not the biggest bloke in the world for a centre back. And a lot of the time when you're at full back, the big centre forward pulls off to the far post, and that's where you are. So I just, you know, we got out-muscled, out-fought, beaten up. But a lot of the time, their first touch was better than ours. Technically, Kiefer Moore's first touch was as good as any of our players. And I mean with his feet, not his head.
Yeah, and you wouldn't... Yeah, no, you're
that's
right.
That's a damning indictment. The number of times one of our players tried to touch it and the ball got away from him. Semenyo has got this annoying habit of trying to run through players. He runs straight into him.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I play a completely, I match Sheffield United up, play a 3-5-2. Look, it's a free hit. We got nothing to lose apart from 180 grand in prize money. And we've got to go in there and make a game of it. I think it's time that there is a clear out down there. We're not going in the right direction on the field. We don't look like a team. We don't look competitive. We don't look combative. And there's no confidence and no belief in the team. And I think the only way that you change that is by have a clear out with the management staff. And I'm sorry for Dean Holden. I do like the bloke, but I just don't think that he's the right man for the job at this current time.
No. Well, we can talk more about that in a minute, and we can look forward to Sheffield as well. I know Les is trying to connect. Les, I've got a few technical problems. I can't let you in at this moment to make a vocal contribution, but I've got your email, and maybe join us for another episode in the near future. Mark, I mean, the two debutants, did we see, I mean, there was a free kick from Lansbury. He was lucky to stay on, really. I think he maybe got substituted, taken off before he was sent off. But the two guys, well, certainly Williams, we've been waiting for months. Do you think either of them gave us hope? We're trying to draw some positives from the performance. Mark?
Well, I think Williams showed some energy, you know, at the base of the defence. But I don't think you could have learned anything from that game because you know, we were just so poor. You know, you just you know, you couldn't really draw any conclusions because City had no momentum where those two players were featured. I mean, it seems like Lansbury was City's go-to guy for free kicks and corners. That probably about it. But even when we got, you know, we didn't really have the physical presence to make any difference. I mean, we don't seem to score any goals from corners these days. We just don't seem to have the physical presence anymore to either take the ball at the front post. I think the only one's probably from Zizou against Preston the other week.
Yeah.
But the real problem we got is the last five goals have all come from the left back spot. And that's a real issue.
Well, that's a good point.
Mawson was playing left-sided centre back. You know, when we did so well at the start of the season, why not play him there? And we must match Sheffield United in that 3-5-2. They always play 3-5-2. It'd be stupid to play any different formation.
Well, they're a different. I mean, we look at that game in a moment, but they're a different proposition to what they were a couple of months ago because they're on a bit of a roll. I mean, I'll come back to you, Ian, just on this sort of shape of the midfield. That midfield three today of Masengo, Williams, and Lansbury. If you'd have had Viner or Backinson there, and maybe taken Semenyo off, and then played. I mean, this obsession with playing Famara Diju, he didn't look, you know, what is it with Diju? Is it lack of service or lack of effort sometimes? But that extra man in midfield, you know, a Backinson or you know, somebody like that, or even Viner, we wouldn't have been overrun and we might not have had the pace, yeah? But would you have changed it in that sort of way, Ian?
I wouldn't have started with it, but yeah, I would have changed it.
Mm.
I think the issue that you've got is once you start off in that 4-3-3, which I've never seen us play well in, and let's be honest, at the start of the season we had an awful lot of luck and some brilliant performances by Dan Bentley to thank for our great start. You know, let's not kid ourselves. We were, you know, until Weidman and Patterson got injured, we were playing great. I don't think any of the subs that came on today affected the game at all.
No.
Well, you might say Zach Viner did a bit. We looked a bit more clever in midfield. We had a huge amount of possession. I was surprised to learn. We had 62% possession.
Yeah. That's maybe because Cardiff were just sent to absorb whatever pressure we threw at them, which wasn't a lot. Liam, Callas and Mawson, 30 million quid's worth of central defensive talent. they're not looking that solid at the moment, are they? They don't look any better than maybe Taylor Moore and Viner did a couple of times this season. Yeah, because at one stage, I think those two did play, but Callas and Mawson, I mean, we've let in 5 goals in the last, in the week, we've let in 6 goals. That's 2 a game. We're conceding 2 a game. Do you think they're not on their game at the moment, Liam?
I think the main problem is the actual left-hand side.
Yeah.
I think we're unbalanced, which isn't help Mawson. It's not going to help Callas. It's not going to help Hunt.
Yeah. So it's just disrupting the whole balance of the way it's laid up. Yeah. Some Mendip City's just said on there, what did Viner do to get himself dropped? Well, maybe he wanted to rest him or something like that. I don't know. But, okay, I mean, look, I don't really... The marks, I heard you on Radio Bristol, and yeah, pretty disgraceful. I mean, let's not bother with the marks. Some people don't like it. Well, they find it a bit boring. I don't think anybody was worthy of anything above a 6. You know, one thing I want to say, Ian, I didn't want to interrupt you a moment ago. That goal when Kiefer Moore came in blindsided by Callas, it was a very similar position to which Canos got the one of the crucial goals for Brentford. And it begs the question, where was Jack Hunt for that goal at Brentford? And he was totally out of shot for the goal that Kiefer Moore scored today, wasn't he?
Yeah, actually, without looking at it, Dave, I don't know, but it was dreadful defending, however you look at it. I mean, there's two ways you can do it. You either stop the bloke in the middle from heading the ball,
yeah,
and that's difficult when he can jump and he's 6'4", right?
Yeah.
Or you stop the cross coming in, which is the easier way to do it, and we don't do either. So let's do one or the other, but preferably... I did a whole session the other night about not closing down crosses, ball watching, etc., yeah, etc. And that's what we keep doing. And that is stuff that you cure that on the training ground. And yeah, you say, right, because look, if Jack Hunt was there, he's not going to outjump Kiefer Moore, is he?
No. No, he's not.
I don't know what Callas was led on the floor when Moore headed it. I got no idea what he was doing.
No.
So I think, first of all, you need somebody in there to get the shape right. Secondly, we've got to have a kid playing left wing back or left back that can kick with his left foot. And we've got a couple of younger lads.
Well, you said Vince Harper or Riley Towler. Rather than, let's give one of the kids a run out. We've been keen to give Semenyo a chance and what have you, haven't we? Yeah. And even Masengo. You know, I mean, Masengo's still only 19. So if we got a 19-year-old local lad that can kick with his left foot, give him a run out. Can't be any worse than what we got at the moment. Let's look at statistics. I mean, we are 6 points off 6. But with a goal difference that is poor, so technically we're off 7, right? And if you look at the clubs in 5th, we're probably 9 points behind those now. I mean, Mark, we have to win 11, maybe 10 out of 18, right? That's not going to happen, is it?
No, I just can't see it happening. The problem is we've had the injuries, the change of formation every single game, no settled side, you know, there's just no momentum and no confidence in the side to go on a winning run. I mean, I think we might pick up some form if we're able to keep players fit, but we do seem to lose players in rotation. I mean, as well as the Tommy Rowe injury this week, he's going to be out for at least 2 months.
Yeah,
now Chris Martin's out for another 2 months.
And then Haki Badalakan broken his back as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's got a fractured back. It's just absolutely crazy. And there's, I mean, I don't know what goes on with the conditioning of the players, but it's just too many.
Well, really, Martin did his after in the warm down after training, which again, we'll come on to that in a moment as well, talking about the off the field stuff. Liam, do you think City can get 10, 11 wins from the last 18? Because that's what we're talking about now, using 75, 76 points as the benchmark for getting 6th place. Because I think that is all there is left to play for now. Do you think they can do it?
No. Like this season and last season, there's not a lot of difference.
Yeah. No, it's right. Well, it's a story of the last 4 years, really. I mean, Ian, current form in the league, because let's not dilute it by a couple of cup wins. 4-0-8. I thought today, worst case scenario, I really thought we were going to win today when I saw the starting line. And I thought, well, maybe a draw. We haven't had one of those for 2 months. 12 points out of 36. If you take, so that's crap form. Yeah, that is crap form. If you look at the last 24 games, which you take off the winning four-game start, which if we hadn't had that, yeah, we would be well and truly looking over our shoulders. The last 24 games, it goes 8-3-13. That's 27 points. You extrapolate that through a season, that gives you 54, and that's pretty much where Lee Johnson finished that season. He took over from Cotts, yeah? And 54 points, that will be down on last season. I think categorically we are going backwards, whichever way you want to cut it, aren't we? Stats don't lie.
Well, yes, we are, hence why I said you need to change the manager now. Let him have a good look at what he's got and decide who he wants to keep, if indeed we can afford to keep them. And you can begin to introduce some younger players. I mean, if Harper played, and I would play him, providing he's fit, obviously, and he's not injured, I would play him against Sheffield United. And all the other players that I would select have all started plenty of championship games.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of saying, well, we're playing in the cup, put the under-23s out and see how they get on. I'm talking about, I mean, this kid is 19. He's 6'1" and 11.5 stone it, and apparently he can catch pigeons.
Who's this one you're talking about, E?
Vince Harper.
Vince Harper, right. Okay.
Yeah. So why not give him a go rather than a bloke who can't kick the ball with his left foot at all? It gives you natural width. Now, if he goes and he does okay, but he needs a bit of a break, O'Dowda won't be back next week like he said he was going to be. He's going to be back in March.
Yeah.
So I've stopped listening to when players say they'll be back, because Joe Williams said he'd be back at the start of October.
Yeah.
And he's just played his first game at the start of February. If we can get O'Dowda back, then he's another one who can play left wing back at a push. I don't think it's his best position.
At least he's got the left foot to do that.
He's got the left foot and the pace and the strength to do it.
But there's another one we've forgotten. There's another one. What about Sessegnon? We were told the other week that he was going to be, he was back on grass, wasn't he?
Playing for the under 23s next week. But I think he'd be a better left back than Mariappa. But he is predominantly a right sided player.
Right. Okay. But is he a better left sided, although a right sided player, is he a better left sided, right sided player? If that makes sense, the Mariappa. And I would suggest the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, I think he would be. I mean, Mariappa is a right-sided centre-back.
Yeah.
And he's not the biggest lad in the world. I think he's about 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah, yeah.
Which for a centre-back is like a midget, isn't it? So yeah. I think we've got some six-footers we can put out against Sheffield United, because they'll be going with something like Billy. Well, I think they'll play that Rhian Brewster in the cup game and McBurney up front. So if we put more Kalas and Mawson, and then we'd have to co-op Zach Viner into midfield, because I don't see Williams and Lansbury playing two first team games in 3 days.
God knows.
And I'd put them both on the bench and play a 3-5-2 matchup. And for God's sake, try and dominate midfield and play some football in their half.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I said. We had 62% of the ball, and I bet 40% of it was in our own half.
Yeah. No, the shades of the Sean O'Driscoll style of football. Tomo's put on here, are Bournemouth a bigger club than Bristol City? No. Of course, they have just got relegated. However, the board is decisive and have sacked a manager after losing only seven games. Yes, they have parachute payments, but it proves the board mean business. We've now lost 13, and Tomo says he can't see Mark Ashton and co. making any changes this season. I mean, Mark, do you see, let's look at the next three games coming up, and we seem to be looking in batches of four. This last batch of four, we hope to get 7 points. We've got three, right? But the next three, we've got the cup game coming up, and then is it Watford away and Reading at home? Based on current form, that could be three straight defeats. Do you think that there is any likelihood that pressure from outside, because we're not shouting at them from the terraces, but do you think they might be decisive? Because when Lee Johnson's cut came, it wasn't really expected, was it? We thought he was bulletproof. What do you think this time around, Mark?
Well, I mean, the problem is, even if we got rid of Holden now, who are they going to recruit? I mean, with the track record of the current management, you couldn't trust them to recruit another manager, because with the mess that they made with the last appointment, it's just a complete joke. And we're looking at early bird season ticket renewals, although that sounds ridiculous because we don't know the pathway out of the pandemic in terms of readmitting fans to stadiums. We don't know when that's going to happen, whether it will start again in August. They've got nothing to sell it on, you know, the match day experience. There hasn't been anything since February 2020. And with the current form, there's no, like we said in the last show, there's nothing to sell. You know, there's no good news.
Unless
you have a clear out of the management, and I think that would have to be in the summer. Stephen Lansdowne has got to be more hands on if he wants to really take the club to the next level. But we're going to go backwards. We've got players that we've recruited who've got no resale value now in Chris Martin and Naki Wells. We just got Henri Lansbury on a short-term deal, but it's indicated another short-term thinking in terms of recruitment, probably for big wages. And it's just an indictment of the way the club's going nowhere. It's not going to the next level. It's lucky with those wins.
We're
not
looking over our shoulders. We've got enough fuel in the tank to keep it going this season. Let's change the subject slightly, Liam. Did you notice a certain Glenn Murray scored a couple of goals for Nottingham Forest today? That was an astute signing, wasn't it? And he's got Knockhart and Murray with him at Forest now. Was that a player that you'd have liked to have seen wearing a City shirt? Because he was linked with us in the summer, wasn't he, Glenn Murray?
Yeah. Good player.
And Houghton seems to be turning it round a bit up at Forest. Somebody put earlier on the thread in the podcast, what's the betting that Houghton, Forest finish above City? If they got on a bit of a roll, there is always one club that get their act together, or do you think that's a bit of a false dawn with Chris Houghton? But, you know, getting Glenn Murray, that was a good signing in my view.
Yeah, I mean, it's a short-term him, but he's a proven striker at this level. He was with Watford on loan and hardly got a game, as far as I can remember. But I think Houghton is a proven manager. I think he walked into, I mean, Forrest is an absolute basket case, or was an absolute basket case. And he's walked in there and he looks to be doing a decent job steering them away from the bottom of the table. So when people say, well, you know, should he have played here, or should we have taken him on here? I'd still say I would have liked to have seen what he's done. And, you know, no one's taken away the fact we've had all these injuries, but perhaps he could have come in and said, look, hang on a minute, how we're doing this is all wrong. If you do it like that, people are going to get hurt, et cetera, et cetera. And also bear in mind that, I mean, one of the injuries at least wasn't here. I mean, George Nurse did his hamstring at Walsall.
Yeah.
But we've now got 14 injured, 7 are out for the season, and of the 14 injured, 7 of those have been hamstrings.
Yeah.
And we should, in theory, from everything that Dean Holden said yesterday, we should have 7 players back fit in March.
Yeah. Mark, people, we've said this on and off through the talk this evening, clear out from top to bottom. I got a slight impression from Dean Holden's press conference yesterday that he was going around in circles saying the same thing in different ways. But I get the impression that, well, he did say, you know, we look at all aspects of how the club is run. We said the other night, who's going to be gone by the 1st of July? Holden, Ashton. Maybe we put Andy Rolls. Is it Andy Rolls on the list as well, the conditioning coach? Because, you know, somebody's got to carry the can for this. There's not going to be a wholesale clear out, is there? Do you think, Mark?
Well, I mean, it'd be, you know, something like that. You think, I don't know what sort of contract, but it might be only a short term. But, yeah, the butt's got to stop somewhere. I mean, if with all those injuries, a lot of them in training, I mean, just one, you know, where's somebody's got, somebody has to take responsibility. And this is just becoming a joke of a club. We said we were going to, you know, we wanted to take the step up. We're sharing the ground with a rugby team. We've got a world-class coach and are now top of the, you know, the Premiership rugby. Playing fast attacking rugby. You know, that's something that people want to watch. And we're not doing anything on the pitch. We've got,
it's interesting you say about the fast.
Coach who's out of his depth. It's not his fault he was appointed. You know, but the whole club is a joke at the moment. Unless there's some will from Steve Lansdowne to become more hands on and say, look, Mark, I gave you the task of making this appointment. You've clearly failed. You know, you gave Dean Holden a chance after a shambles of a recruitment process. You ended up with him, and this is where we are now. I'm afraid, you know, you're out the door, and I've got to put my money. I put all this money into the club, and I'm not getting anything back.
He's not getting a return.
From you or the players. I need, you know, the club. You know, we need to allay the fans, because then, when we eventually go back, who's going to want to come back? It's going to be...
Well, it's going to be... Yeah. It's challenging. Let's put it like that. And it's interesting... Yeah,
that's probably a very, very...
Yeah, it's interesting you say about the attractive rugby. And there was something on Twitter today. I think it might even have been a New Zealand newspaper article somebody had cut out. And the way Bristol are playing, even though they lost the other day, but the way Bristol are playing, it is a vibrant attacking form of rugby. And maybe that's maybe why they lost the other day, you know, because they were a little bit too open. I mean... Ian, you've put on there Radadam, if that's the right pronunciation. Do listeners think other managers would work under Ashton? I think there's a limited number who would. And as somebody else said, most of the managers who've got the job since Cottrell have been grateful for it. Ian, you said Mark Ashton should go first. Dave, earlier in the week, was getting some quite personal attacks on him from certain people. Now, Ashton's probably got two members of his family that maybe might even be listening to this, and he's probably a nice bloke, but two members of his family on the club. And Mark also said Steve Lansdowne needs to be hands-on. We have got, it goes surely Steve Lansdowne, John Lansdowne, Mark Ashton. So, Ian, where does John Lansdowne fit into all this? Because everybody keeps saying about his dad, he should be doing stuff. But what about John?
Well, Steve's the multi-billionaire. So anyone that thinks that he doesn't call the shots is sadly deluded.
Yeah.
And anybody that thinks that he didn't have anything to do with the decision to appoint Dean Holden is also deluded. I'm sorry, but I know Steve. We're not best mates or anything like that before somebody says it, but I know Steve. I've had conversations with him, and he's not the sort of bloke who I think, if he wants to, you know, drop me a line on Twitter and say, no, I had absolutely nothing to do with it, then that's absolutely fine. Because when I've spoken to him directly or when I've been at a dinner and asked him a question, he's always been very honest and forthright with his answers.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, I don't actually know what John does. I don't know whether he's just on the football side or whether he does something at Bristol Sport. I know he's chairman of the football club, but you know, there's chairman and chairman. I really don't know. I would say that Steve Lansdowne sets the budgets and decides how much we can lose, because that's what it's about for the last decade, apart from one year when we sold an absolutely pile of our best players.
Yeah.
So my view would be I don't think that Steve... I don't think Steve can be happy with how much he spent and where we are, because there are lots of other clubs who spent less
and achieved more
Yeah,
I've got to pick up on a comment here from Red Robin 2020. 100% agree with you, Red Robin. He said he remembered the John Lansdowne interview in the summer when the great human had been announced, and he said John looked like a hostage with a gun at his head. So true. Absolutely so true, that was. Okay,
yeah, I agree with that totally. I think John Lansdowne was saying stuff that it didn't look like he believed.
No,
I expected him to start talking with a funny voice, so he was being manipulated.
It was fake, you know. It was fake news. John looked like he didn't agree, to be fair. The body language said it all. 100% right there. And Tomo's just put John just gets involved in the nicey stuff like rebranding of the badge and stadium development. But he's probably the closest. He's probably the one that probably thinks like most of us do, maybe, I think. You know, because the general view is, you know, if you can be still happy clappy at the moment, I mean, here we are, still top half of the championship side and we're bloody moaning. You know, if you'd have said 10 years ago we'd be in this situation,
Dave, can I come in there? Because this really winds me up when people go down. Look, we could be where the Rangers are.
Just think where we are.
We're not. You know, let's just tug our forelock and bow low and thank Mr. Lansdowne for letting us play in his lovely ground. Yeah. No, I'm not having it. In 10 years, we've spent a king's ransom trying to get out of the division that we're in. All right. Originally, we started with the third division. We got out of that. Steve Cottrell did the double, et cetera, et cetera. And up we went. And then Steve Cottrell didn't get supported. And if you look at the players he wanted to sign, I don't know whatever happened to Harry Maguire.
Well, Harry Maguire, don't know what happened to him. Dwight Gayle.
Kicking his heels.
Yeah.
I mean, so all those things are fine. But if I was Steve Lansdowne, I'd be truly, truly hacked off with what I've spent and what I saw today and against Derby and after 25 minutes against Huddersfield and Millwall at home and Rotherham away and Birmingham at home.
Too many.
It's just
happening
too many times.
Too many.
Hearing it.
Too many. Know,
there's been harsh words spoken in the dressing room. And then I heard Holden talking before the game about, you know, the lads are all up for it. And if that's them being up for it,
God help
Hate to see it when they want to sack it off. I got to be honest.
Right, we're gonna have another poddy on Wednesday. I just come to each of you in turn. I'll start with Liam. Liam, Premier League, Sheffield United in the Cup. Those of us who are old enough to remember, certainly Ian and I can, 1973-74 season. Alan Dix was under a hell of a lot of pressure and he came up in the fifth round against Leeds United, 1-1 at Ashton Gate. Keith Fear, Billy Bremner, 1-0 during a three-day week up at Ellen Road. Donny Gillies, still remember that now. Sheffield United, do you think we will win and a good cup run, because that would put us in the quarterfinals, might just rescue this season? So, Liam, win, you can't draw with a replay. Are we going to beat Sheffield United? Simple yes or no?
No.
No, fair enough. Mark, Sheffield United, we got a chance or defeat or extra time maybe, extra time and pens. What do you think?
I'm just got to be upbeat and say yes. Is this a cup game? And it's Sheffield United. We got a chance. Yes, I'm saying we are going to win because I'm always hopeful. After 47 years, I helped put together a 40th commemoration with the Supporters Club and Trust 7 years ago, and we had the players and we had a replica FA Cup. And we had a fantastic night. And I'd really like us to get through to our first cup quarter final since then.
1974.
It's been too long, and we deserve it. Somebody deserves it anyway.
Somebody does. And Ian, your thoughts? You know, it's a free hit, as we say. Do you think we'll get something up at Bramall Lane?
I don't think we will. And one of the reasons is Sheffield United are going to get relegated this year. So Wilder will want to do well in the game for exactly the same reason. And there's an amount of money. I mean, we're getting 97,500 because it's being televised by the BBC on iPlayer. And I think it's either 160 or 180,000 in prize money. Now, add that on top of what we've already got in the FA Cup, and you're at the thick end of half a mil.
Yeah.
And this season, that's more important than ever. So,
well, that's the cost of a Mark Ashton, isn't it?
Well, Sheffield United will play a very strong team.
Yeah,
I think we'll play a strong team. Do I think we'll win? No. Do I think we've got any chance of winning? Yeah, we have. We've got what I call a puncher's chance. But nine times out of 10, the good boxer beats the puncher. But one time out of 10, the puncher lands a punch and down goes the heavyweight champion. So let's hope this is the time. Yeah.
You never know. Guys, Liam, thank you for joining us. First time in a few months. Mark, as always, Ian, your comments are always interesting. And I think next time both of you are on Radio Bristol, if they want to hear continued debate from two regular contributors to his show, him being Jeff Twentyman, then you should get him to say, tune in for Forever Bristol City podcast after 6 o'clock, because I can say we've had a record number of people listening tonight. So thanks for all of that. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks,
I've got an Indian takeaway sort of imminently coming through the gate. So have a good evening, everybody, and we'll upload a recording of this when I get round to it, but certainly before 9 o'clock tomorrow. All the best, chaps.
God bless. Stay safe, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.